Welcome to the Smart Thinking Podcast. This is my dad, Ted.
Welcome to the Smart Thinking Podcast. I'm your host, Ted Knightsky. One of the key behaviors of a leader is recognizing the influence you have on others, and most importantly, being there when those around you need you. So often, people come to us for advice, and we as leaders miss an opportunity. The opportunity that we miss is to be present for the other person, and this was illustrated to me the other day when, twice in the same day, I observed the exact same thing happen to two different women that are my friends. Now, before I get into what I observed and how it sparked this episode, I want to review a few basics. First, a leader is anyone that has influence over another person. Your influence is that of a mentor, role model, coach, friend, random act of kindness-er, or simply you being you. Leadership is often misunderstood as authority. A leader is someone with a core awareness that everything they do every day will impact those around them. The second concept is that of being a buffalo leader in mind and actions. A buffalo is someone who optimistically runs into the storm in order to address the issues and challenges they are facing, not blindly, but instinctively. Using previous life experiences and failures to recognize the situation and take it on in real time instead of later on. These two definitions, if lived, are powerful because every day you get to shift the lives of the others that you serve, and you are not always doing it on purpose. So the idea of coaching others to be more buffalo and grow as leaders is a critical concept. This is why I want to share a couple of strategies with you to help you grow children, students, colleagues, and total strangers to be buffalo leaders themselves. Because there are few people who, at their core, would run into a storm. Most seek cover, and even more try to outrun it. Now, I'm a gigantic advocate for coaching at every level of life, and I'm not talking about sports. I'm talking about having someone or a few people in your life that you can turn to and, through process, review the opportunities and issues you are facing, because people that you can count on to help you center your bearings and help develop you are critical for your own development. Too often, we run into people who are what I call know-betters. They know a better way to do it, they've done it, and they want to tell you how to do it. Or they are know-betters as well as one-uppers. These are the worst. A know-better who is also a one-upper is someone like this. Oh, you think you've got a problem? Well, when I was in your situation, not only was I facing what you're facing, but I had the flu, was on fire, and was surrounded by a pack of hungry wolves. No one needs these types of responses. And that is why the other day when I saw two different women in two different settings face the same thing, I thought, we need to explore the science and processes to properly coach people. In a minute, we're going to talk about LDRS and coaching through a needs assessment. But now, let's explore what happened. So, way back in 2001, I developed an empathy for pregnant women in a very real and personal way. I watched as my wife, during her pregnancy with our son Charlie, and I was astounded by what people said and did to her, touching her, asking her questions. I swear that people would say the dumbest things to her, and maybe one time I did the same thing. I may have called her Big Red one time when she came into the kitchen in a new red sweater when she was like 6 months pregnant, which, by the way, I still have not recovered from. Learn from my mistakes. But what I observed was that other people, in general, don't always care about you being in your position so much as they view your position as an opportunity for them to share with you more about themselves. So the other day, I was with a woman who shared that she was about 6 months pregnant with a group of people. Never, by the way, guess how many months along a woman is, or even if she is pregnant. But anyways, more lessons of life. This woman said she wanted to sit down and stated that she was 6 months pregnant and that she was a little tired. Within 3 seconds, another woman started to talk about how much worse she had it when she was pregnant. I watched my friend look on with sympathy, but I could really care less eyes as that person talked to her. It was a one-sided conversation that was clearly not helping the situation, and then it turned into a weird sharing of all the people in the room, and everyone started to share the stories of themselves or their wives and how much worse everyone else had it, and I looked over at my friend, and she had the thousand-mile stare going and was completely tuned out and just seemed content to be sitting there. Now, I have no idea why, but when everyone finally stopped talking about how miserable they were when they were like her, I quietly asked her, how did that feel when everyone just rambled on? She said, I'm used to it. But I pressed her, no, seriously, how did that feel? Well, she sparked a little bit. She told me that she hates it. She said, it makes me feel like people are minimizing how much I feel or what I'm feeling and trying to make me feel better by sharing that it could be so much worse. Now, did you hear what I just said? When others try to jump in and make you feel better with your issue by presenting how they or someone else had it worse, it minimizes the situation for the person facing the issue, and by the way, it shuts the door on your ability to positively influence them. I want you to reflect upon this for a moment. We all do this to others, not always on purpose. Many times it is accidental, and we are trying to demonstrate empathy by sharing a story. But now, as a leader, I want you to start to think about why someone wants to tell you something. People share things with you because they want you to know and they want you to listen. So let's look at the behaviors and processes you need to employ in order for you to coach buffaloes. This goes for you as siblings, sons and daughters, parents, teachers, colleagues, bosses, and friends. What you need to employ when someone seeks you out or shares something with you is what I call LDRS. Listen, defer, reflect, support. Again, LDRS. Listen, defer, reflect, support. You did not hear me say, hear a story and see an opportunity to share your life experience. Remember the rule that the best conversations you've ever had are usually the ones where the other person never speaks. So here's how this works. When someone comes to you and shares an issue or their opportunity for improvement, you have to be thinking to yourself, what can I do here to help them charge into what they are facing? So step one to coaching a buffalo is to listen. I mean truly listen. Sit there without a device near you and tune your ears to hear what's being said. See clarity in the narrative, but do not jump in and share similar experiences. Nobody cares. If they are being vulnerable, you need to see that as an opportunity to provide them a soft place to land. When someone is burdened with an issue, they are looking to people they trust to listen, be empathetic, and supportive. Great coaches listen for root causes and defer. Listen and defer. Defer means to actively defer judgment, to seek clarity, but to defer your ideas, solutions, strategies, and most importantly, advice and shared stories. Great coaches don't lead with statements like, well, here's what I would do if I were you. No, great coaches lead with their ears. Don't compare situations or experiences, and instead treat the issues of those around them with a mindset of discovery, and seek to defer judgment and action in an effort to help the person solve the issue on their own through cooperative reflection. Defer simply means to defer comment and judgment. Listen, defer, and now reflection, LDR. When coaching a buffalo to charge into a storm and having listened and deferred judgment, well, now you ask questions like this. What is stopping you from running into the storm? What narratives have you created that are causing you to pause before addressing this? Describe your fears. List the things that you think will happen if you do this. Do you hear me? When you are coaching a kid, a student, a colleague, or a loved one, are you LDRing or are you sharing stories? Most of us go where we are comfortable, and that is sharing our stories, intentionally or accidentally minimizing what the person in front of us is facing. And as a result, we are fertilizing pessimism. People who are on the receiving end of unwanted or unsolicited advice and narratives usually walk away with a "they just don't understand" mindset and are feeling unsupported as well as a little more lost. So here we are, LDR, and finally, S, support. So after you've listened, inquired, deferred judgment, and coached reflection, now the last thing you do is this, listen more through guiding questions. There are three key questions you ask so that you can create a pathway and plan to support. You ready? Question one, what do you need to do in order to move forward? Question two, what do you need from me in order to move forward? And question three, how can I help you be accountable to your promises? I'm guessing that the first two questions for reflection were not big surprises, right? What do you need to do and what can I do? But the third question usually puts the other person on their heels a little bit. Here's the deal. You're a leader, and if someone comes to you for support or a shoulder to cry on, that's an opportunity for you to help others. And one of the greatest ways to move someone forward is to LDRS them and then help them help themselves by being accountable back to you. If the people around you hear these things from you enough, you become a little voice in their head when they are standing there looking at their two paths. The voice in their head says to them things like, I processed all of this with my friend, and now I'm going to have to go back to them and tell them what I did. And if I did nothing, I risk disappointing someone I trust as well. This courage can be very helpful, and if we are helping people charge into the storm, they'll need courage, and if you've coached them correctly, they'll have come to the answers on their own because you've led them to the strategy and they'll feel your presence when they need a little fuel to be grittier. So how does this apply in a classroom or a boardroom or the office or anywhere? Well, many times we launch into new things, new assignments, standards, expectations, and then what happens is we give others responsibilities, homework, projects, rules, and then we leave. But a good leader recognizes that most students and people will nod their heads in agreement and then commit to figuring it out later. A very cow-like behavior, by the way. Everyone has been trained to not ask too many questions in class or work, or never to be the meeting extender. But this creates issues for people as they walk out the door. So, LDRS, every lesson or meeting or expectation. Here's how you do it. When you've finished explaining what's expected, listen. By asking people to turn to each other and share what they've just heard. Then ask people to explain to the team or group or class what they heard. Process the narrative and make certain that everyone in the room is in agreement and then capture what they said in a minute document that can be quickly shared out to everyone. Now, you may have laid out the rules and given a syllabus and given the project directions, but that's your communication. They need clarification by being able to explain back to you and everyone else what they think they're supposed to do. Now, then, defer judgment by asking everyone one more question. And this is it. Please list on post-its what you will need in order to successfully complete the assignment or task. Most times, we just let everyone go and then we wait and see. People fail, grow frustrated, or don't complete the tasks at all. Instead, what should happen is we should see what those we serve need in order to be successful. They may need time, tools, training, development, a partner. Whatever it is, we need to learn up front what the perceived obstacles are, and as a leader, we need to guide and provide support. Finally, the support. You make certain you've listened to every student or colleague. You've collected what they need, and now you use your influence to coach the buffaloes by creating your list of assurances. Take the post-its from the group and group them up on the board. You then write out for all to see what you will do to support them. This proactively positions you, the team, or the students to see what we all do in order to make things happen. And then you add that back to your minutes document. Most people face issues because they don't ask for clarification or support. So make that non-negotiable by making it part of the process. If you ask a student to do something, they will do their best with what they have. But if you ask them to identify what they've heard, what they need, and finally how you'll help, you clarify in great detail how you'll all collaborate for the success of each other. Too often, it is not okay to ask questions or to present your weaknesses, and it is easier to simply fail. Failure is something we celebrate, learn from, and grow forward with. But if it is not a safe and supportive environment, it's toxic failure, it's pessimistic failure, and it destroys the chance for others to grow the confidence they need to charge into the storm. Listen to the person in front of you. Don't respond. Defer judgment and inquire for the good of both of you. Reflect by asking guiding questions and don't tell your story. And lastly, support them by guiding them through process and most importantly, holding them accountable. Buffaloes, after all, only learn to charge into storms by trial and error. And over all these millennia, they've learned you get out of misery quicker by taking it on. So as a coach, guide others through the process that they learn what it takes to charge into the storm. It took too many of us too long to figure out this simple idea, and that is that we and we alone are in charge of our choices, and the more guidance we get from other buffaloes, the more success we'll find. So let's do some smart thinking. Describe how well you listen. list the ways in which you help others reflectively inquire into their issues. And last, describe how you will hold those you serve accountable using the LDRS process. That's it. That's the Smart Thinking Podcast. Thank you for listening, and please rate and share this podcast. Seriously, please take a minute to rate and share this podcast on your platform. And as always, thank you to the Wellpennies for their great music. As we close out this episode, I want to share with you a key detail about myself. I am a horrible listener with the people I'm closest to, and I'm sure many of you are as well. Someone on the outside of my world can keep my attention forever, but too often I am not so good with those that I am around with frequency because I know them. I can predict their behaviors, and I want to expedite the conversation to help them get to their solution. And that is why the LDRS mindset is so important, because if you live by it, you pause. Seriously, I've gone to people close to me when I am in need and just recoil when they start to tell me stories about themselves. So why do we do it? Well, we don't have a little voice in our heads that says, shut up and listen. And that is why I wanted to explore LDRS with you. Kids need it. Parents need it. Teachers need it. Principals need it. Bosses need it. We all need it. And most importantly, we need to be better at being present for others. Too many people live with regret, and it is mostly as a result of them not being Buffalo, avoiding problems, or taking risks that were not processed with a loving and listening coach. No one should be burdened with a life of what if. So, moving forward this week and every week, be your best for others by listening, deferring judgment, reflecting with them, and supporting their needs. I'm going to close out a little differently with this episode. I have a final reflection for you, and I discovered this song this week while preparing for this episode. It's one of those weird divine moments where I'm sampling music on my iTunes playlists, and this song came on. It gave me pause, and it inspired me. The artist is Matthew West, and the song is about living without regret, which is a key mantra of Buffalo leaders. Live every day looking for storms to charge into for yourself and others, because the only regrets we have in life are the opportunities we let pass us by when we lack the courage to take on the challenge. And that is why we all need to be coaching others each day, so that no little buffalo ever wonders, what if?
I've heard them say before to live just like you're dying, yeah. Wish I could say that's how I am, but I've been lying, yeah. Lying in my bed at night one too many times, I'm thinking, what if? What if? My biggest fear is waking up to find what matters is miles away from what I spent my life chasing after. Is my story gonna have the same two words in every chapter? What if? What if? But last I checked, this heart inside my chest is still beating. Well, I guess it's not too late. What if today?
I'm gonna dream.